All right, 3, 2, 1. How's it going, everybody? And welcome back to Nerd Stuff with Ian 2.0 podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Ian. And today's episode, as you guys have already read the title, we're going to talk about Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever. And just another quick overview like I did with Black Adam. And let's just kind of jump into it. It is spoilers. So if you still haven't seen the film and you're just waiting for it to hit, you know, streaming services, I don't think it hits till January, I believe, or somewhere in there. I know they're putting it out for a little bit extra long runtime since it is making Disney a good amount of money at the moment. But let's just jump right into it. So the beginning of the film starts off with us finding out that T'Challa has passed because of pretty much a natural disease that would have been fought off if he had had the herb that made him, super strong like he originally was in Black Panther before Eric Killmonger burned it all off or destroyed it, however you want to call it. And you have Queen Ramonda and you have Shuri that are really just going through it. Now, it is also really just a tribute to Chadwick Boseman, which I thought Ryan Coogler did an amazing job in doing that. And I definitely believe it did a great job of just honoring him as the character, since he really did encapsulate, Chadwick Boseman encapsulated T'Challa, aka the Black Panther. So, fast forward, they're still grieving, and essentially, and you find out that because Black Panther's gone, you have a lot of countries that are now trying to move in on the vibranium trade. And to a lot of people are thinking that's Wakandans killing off, other world soldiers, stuff like that. Well, kind of find out it's not just the Wakandans. Queen Ramonda sends a message when a bunch of French troops try to invade a Wakandan facility and run across the Dora Milaje. And I mean, they of course handle business. And then they bring them into the United Nations and they say, we don't play that game, essentially. And it was something I thought was very interesting for the character of Queen Ramonda. And I actually liked the fact that, she recognized very quickly, I grieved my son, but she's like, at the end of the day, like, I still have to rule this nation, and she immediately recognized the threats that were going to come their way because the whole world knew the Black Panther was dead and that they thought it was, weak. Shuri, she threw herself into technology because she was trying to recreate the herb, and she just has not been able to get over it. You ever think she's, lost her dad and then lost her brother, pretty much within the last, couple years. About, I think, 6 years, I believe, that they had set it up. But to her, it felt like very fresh. Even though it's been like 6 years had passed since Civil War had happened. And they had the 5-year time skip. And now all of a sudden T'Challa had passed with everything. So it's been, she's had a rough couple of years going in. And Queen Ramonda, her mom, tries to cheer up, tries to get her to just grieve and let T'Challa's, the grieving process behind T'Challa go, helping her move forward. So Queen Ramonda manages to get Shuri out of the lab for a little while, and they go to this kind of just, I'm trying to think how I want to describe it. Essentially, this area where they can look up straight at the stars. It's no technology, nothing that, it's just nature. Something for them to listen to, and something that Queen Ramonda used to help kind of solve her ability of getting through the grieving process. And she wanted to use the same thing for Shuri. Well, while that's going on, you run across Namor. He comes out the water, and he goes, this place is full of vibranium. Now, I did skip one thing, which was when I talked about how the world thinks the Wakandans are the ones taking care of or taking out, soldiers and the world, other world governments when they think that they're trying to steal vibranium. We'll kind of find out it's not them. It is Atlanteans. Or technically, if I recall, feel like we're going to go with Atlanteans for this one. Since technically, Namor is the Prince of Atlantis, so on and so forth. So, if we're going to go based off comics, I know they go under a different name, and I don't really want to butcher it. So, we're just going to go based off like that, just to make it easier. So, the Atlanteans just wreck this giant ship that was using this vibranium radar that was made. They don't know who made it, but it was made, and they're. Atlanteans are not playing around. So fast forward back to what we talked about earlier. Namor shows up to Shuri and Queen Ramonda, and sees what Wakanda is, and essentially he tries to make a deal. He's like, "You are not the only one that has vibranium, and if we team up, we can protect it. But if you choose to make me an enemy, then." This is where it goes. That, we will be enemies. But I also need to find out who created the device that was able to detect vibranium, because that's how they were able to find, they were getting close to finding the Atlanteans at that point. And they pretty much are given essentially a death edict by Namor. It's like, you need to find this person and either you need to kill him or you need to bring him to me and I will kill them. I don't have time for this. My people are in danger at the end of the day, and this world does not need more people that don't know how to use vibranium or want to use vibranium for war out there in the wild. So this ends up concerning Queen Ramonda and Shuri, because it's like, well, what are we gonna do? This guy just rolled up, got underneath our defenses, and there's really not a lot we can say or do against this guy. We don't know anything about him other than that his name is Namor or Namor in the comics. And from there, it's just off to the races. You find out that you have Riri Williams, aka Ironheart, they can introduce, which to me I felt like was like a weaker part of the film. She had some funny lines, but I think for me personally, I thought she was a weaker part of it. Now, I'm sure she'll grow on me as a character if they do write her well, which I think Ryan Coogler did a good job of writing her. For me, I just didn't really see much. I understand why he did it, because you have Shuri in the MCU and you have Riri Williams. They're both, big, techies, they're tech heads at the end of the day, and why not have them cross? So I understood it, but I want to see where the journey goes. She was just kind of the weaker side, in my opinion. That's it. But you have Shuri and Okoye, they end up finding Riri Williams, and they find out that Riri Williams has been, she's not. She is very smart, and she has got a lot more going on for her than she's letting on. So Shuri and Okoye, they end up telling her, like, you need to come with us because someone wants you dead. Now, how they find out about Riri Williams is through Everett Ross. They get some information from him. He tells them pretty much where to go. And you find out Valentina Contessa, who is Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character, she is essentially running the whole operation. She really wants in on the vibranium on top of everything else. So their thought process, so Okoye and Everett Ross and Shuri's thought process is, we need to get Riri Williams out of there because she's made herself a giant target. The fact she's able to make a machine that can detect vibranium, that makes her a big commodity in how she did it. So, Shuri and Okoye they end up getting Riri Williams out. They go back to her garage that Riri Williams had with her dad. And you see some of the stuff she's worked on, but then you also find out that Riri Williams has made a pseudo Iron Man armor. Kind of similar to his before he really made the it was not his Mark One, but it was his like more or less like his test type armor that he had in the lab from Iron Man One where he's flying around trying to figure it out. She was at that stage. Well, she was a little more advanced in her stage, but she had not figured out everything Tony Stark had figured out when it comes down to the Iron Man armor. So she was there, but she hadn't fully been able to make the Iron Man armor like Tony had. So you find out she has an Iron Man armor, she flies away, and of course, they end up getting confronted. They're getting chased by the FBI and CIA. Shuri and Okoye, they manage to get away at the end of it. And out of nowhere, the Atlanteans attack again. And they manage to take down Riri Williams. And they find out that Riri Williams is the one that made the device. So pretty much they're taking her back to be killed by Namor. Well, Shuri barters and pretty much has them take her with them at the end of the day. Okoye tries to fight off the Atlanteans. She does a pretty decent job, but unfortunately, they're just more powerful than her, and they're not going to be easily beaten. So Shuri and Riri get taken underwater. Queen Ramonda freaks out. She's so mad at Okoye. Okoye ends up losing her title because of it. And Queen Ramonda, she pretty much goes, "We need to find them, and I have the perfect person that will be able to find them." You fast forward, you find out that Nakia is in Haiti. And essentially, she goes to Tyra, like, "You need to bring back Shuri. You're the best. You need to do it." Now, there's more that happens there that you don't see on screen, but fast forward. Nakia ends up finding out where they are after they pretty much are able to find Shuri's location with one of the devices she's wearing. Nakia uses that to go save her, and it's all done by Queen Ramonda. She manages to get Shuri and Riri back, and after pretty much doing a coup with Namor. Prince then meeting up, and Namor pretty much just tells her, like, you're gonna die for this. He's like, "I'm not about to be played." Only after Shuri's just shown what Namor's, backstory is and what his Atlantis looks like, and it's peaceful for them. And he explains his story that he's, over 500 years old. His people had found this herb that made them, an air, made their skin blue. Well, made them different from most people. They ended up finding out that if they go underwater, they can live and breathe underwater. So that's pretty much how they become Atlanteans, is through a herb, which I thought was interesting. Not, something super crazy. I thought it was a very interesting way to handle it. And I think it works. I think it sets up for what they need. It's hard to explain, "Hey, we've had, Atlanteans fish people this whole time and the MCU and no one's noticed." So you go from there, and after seeing all this, like, Shuri's like, she's kind of on the fence. She doesn't really know what to think or do. She's hoping she can maybe negotiate with Namor to let them go, to figure out what else they can do. Because at the end of the day, Shuri really doesn't want a war because she knows how powerful Namor is, or Namor is, and Wakanda really wouldn't have anything for him at the end of the day. It's better to, in her eyes, make an ally with this and try and, negotiate and see if maybe they can find compassion from Namor. From Namor at the end of the day. So Nakia gets them out, like I said earlier, and Namor commences the attack on Wakanda. He ends up flooding the place. M'Baku tries his best to try and fight against some of the Atlanteans, and they just pretty much show they don't have time. They don't care. They're going to handle business. And in the end of it, Riri Williams is the target that Namor wants, but Queen Miranda is protecting her because Queen Miranda hears from Riri Williams. She's like, I want to call my mom. I want to tell her I'm okay. And Queen Miranda feels that. And she's like, oh snap, I saved my daughter and Riri Williams. I need, I've put some jeopardy. I've made a lot of, in her head, what you can kind of tell from the scene, she recognized that there was no way she was going to survive this, but she needed to survive, make sure Riri could go see her mom at the end of the day. So Namor attacks the throne, ends up just throwing these water bombs that essentially explode, and they just let out a crap ton of water. Ends up pretty much just, putting Queen Ramonda and Riri Williams underwater. Queen Ramonda manages to save Riri, who was unconscious, and they managed to bring back Riri to life, but unfortunately, Queen Ramonda had passed. And now you have where Shuri's lost everything: her mom, her dad, and her brother. The three people that knew her best, that she felt the most comfortable with, the ones that she had a connection with, were taken from her. And Namor put the last nail in the coffin. Sorry, I gotta stop saying Namor. I need to commit to just saying Namor. And Shuri kind of puts together that she has to essentially find a way to make the herb again. Because right now, there's nothing the Wakanda can do against them. The Atlanteans are too powerful for them. The world needs a new Black Panther, and they need to figure out something. Well, while they were down there, Shuri was given this bracelet, and essentially, it had part of the herb that made the, I believe it's, is it Mayans or Aztecs into the Atlanteans. So she looks at the herb and she sees that it's full of vibranium like the herb was. And she combines it and essentially gets like a, I think like a 98% match. From there, makes a new herb and just takes it with Okoye and Riri Williams and all them. And essentially, Shuri has to go through the journey that T'Challa did through, like he did in Black Panther 1. And where T'Challa saw his father, Shuri's looking for her brother, her dad, looking for her mom, whomever. And who she runs into is her cousin, Eric Killmonger, from Black Panther 1. And the reason why she runs into him is Shuri's not looking to bring about peace or anything like that. She's doing what Killmonger was going to do. Her mind, she's full of rage. She wants revenge. She wants to send a message to Namor and say that Wakanda is not something you can just conquer easily. We're going to survive, and you do not get away with killing off my mom. And it scares her because she doesn't want to acknowledge in her head that she has more similarities to what from what Eric Killmonger wanted than she did T'Challa. And it messed with her because she's like, all I wanted to see was my brother. I want to see my brother, my mom, and my dad. That's it. But instead, my vision is I see my cousin Eric Killmonger, who was a tyrant in my eyes. And I thought that was a very good story beat because it's something that, similar to what happened to T'Challa in Captain America Civil War, Shuri's kind of getting the same process. And I like that they're doing that. I like what Ryan Coogler did. And to me, I think it just makes the character of Shuri much more well-rounded. at the end of the day. That's just my opinion. So Shuri wakes up. She's like, the herb didn't work. She's like, I couldn't see my brother. I couldn't see anything. You know, it just didn't work. And Nakia is kind of like wondering, well, she's like, she knows something had to have worked. But she also knows Shuri doesn't want to answer a lot. Shuri gets angry and then ends up punching something and launches it. And they're like, oh no, the herb worked. And Shuri essentially has to just be like, well, it worked. And in the back of her mind, she's got to figure out what's going on. Like, why did she see Killmonger? And at the end of the day, she ends up picking up her, she ends up creating her own destiny with being the new Black Panther. She essentially aligns up all the tribes that essentially had gone to M'Baku's people, since essentially that was the safer spot. And she says, she brings them all together. She's like, we're going to war and we're going to handle business. Like, there is no, she's like, I don't have time for any more of this. She's like, I want vengeance, essentially. And she devises a plan that would pretty much bring Namor out. Her and Riri figure out that essentially solar lamps essentially will burn off a lot of Namor's water. His powers are strongest when he is in water, or like within a few moments after he gets out, where he's still fully hydrated. The less hydrated he is, the weaker he is. He's still powerful even if he's dehydrated. But she has a better chance of beating him when he's dehydrated than fully underwater. So they advise an attack. Riri uses Wakandan technology to create her Ironheart armor, or a prototype armor, however you want to call it. I don't know if that's going to be, we all know it's, if she's going to be the new quote-unquote Iron Man or Ironheart, she's going to have a couple different armors at the end of the day. So from there, Shuri and their squad, along with Okoye, who now, Okoye now becomes one of the Midnight Angels with an armor, which is from Ta-Nehisi Coates' run of Black Panther's first run. His initial run, I think, in 2016, and then he did his reboot on top, then he did his continuation. Definitely recommend those as reading, if you have not ever read those. They are really good. So Shuri begins the battle. They get the Atlanteans. They start messing them up. And Shuri ends up separating out Namor. And she puts him under heat lamps and starts draining out his water. Because she knows, if we can do that, I can win. She's like, I want to send a message. I want him to quit, essentially. And Namor shows, he's like, I'm Imperious Rex. Like, I'm not going to go down easily. Like, you can't just play me like that. And they end up getting into it. Namor still shows he's stronger. And I mean, he's taking it to Shuri. Shuri realistically doesn't, I don't know how much training she really had, if any, if I'm being honest. But it'll be interesting to see going forward. But she does hold her own. She ends up outsmarting Namor. And I mean, she takes it to him. She ends up burning him up at the end of it. And they end up essentially calling a ceasefire. Now, I realistically, I don't think they should have been happy when they came together after the whole battle and all that stuff. I think Namor should have been disappointed and just told the Atlanteans, we're going home. Like, this war is senseless. We have called a ceasefire. Let's go. Instead of being like, we are together, and all, how it kind of sounded like, at least to me. So they end up going and separating. And you find out the reason why Namor did that, accepted the defeat, instead of just really just committing to just killing off Shuri, is he knows Wakanda's going to need his help sooner or later. And if he's their only ally, he's going to get Wakanda and more vibranium regardless. Because he knows that Shuri and the rest of the Wakandans, they don't fully trust the world. The world, at this point, they want what Wakanda has. And they've proven that they're not afraid to do whatever it takes to get it. So Namor's banking on that. Shuri ends up having Riri Williams get returned with, a car that she had built with her dad, that Riri had built with her dad that was remade. And Shuri ends up making a journey out to Haiti to see Nakia. Well, you find out at the end that Nakia and T'Challa had a son, and that T'Challa had spent time with his son. Him and Nakia had, when he found out he had what he had, he made time for their child. And they both agreed that their son should be in secret. He didn't want his son to be burdened with the same things that he was when he was a child. He wanted to make sure he was safe. So Nakia and T'Challa Jr., we'll go with T'Challa Jr., that went off to Haiti. Well, when Queen Ramonda went to see Nakia, she was actually able to meet T'Challa's son. So she met her grandson, T'Challa. And you didn't see it in the film, but it's hinted at when Nakia said, when Shuri asked, like, did my mom see him? She's like, yes, she saw him. She knew. And they got to meet. And it helps Shuri pretty much. Shuri has essentially been able to let go of her grief of T'Challa and just move forward, with her family, knowing that she has a nephew to look after. Nakia is around with her. She has family. She's not alone. And that's how the film ends. To me, I thought that was a good way to end it. I think Ryan Coogler knocked it out the park. And that's one thing I always give him props about is his villains are always really compelling. I did not think Namor was weak in the film. I thought his Namor was a good, compelling character. That's the one thing Ryan Coogler does well. And it's something that, in order for a great superhero movie to be made, in my mind, your superhero gets him in the door. Your villain is what gets them to stay. Because you can have Batman or Black Panther fighting whoever you want, or any of your superheroes fight whoever, but if your villain's not compelling, then your movie's boring. What's the point of seeing it? And I think a lot of writers and directors kind of struggle with that. That's why when you look at like the 89 Batman or Black Panther, the first one, the villain is the most compelling part. It was so well done that as a viewer, you're like, I almost want the villain to win a little bit. So I give Ryan Coogler a lot of props on that. So overall, definitely check it out if you haven't already checked it out. Or if you're going to check it out on Disney Plus, do that as well. It's definitely a good. To me, I felt like Phase 4 is just moving a lot of pieces forward. And that's what I feel like fans at the moment are kind of mad about, is that's what MCU's kind of done, is they're like, oh, well, there's no stakes at the moment. It's like, well, there's technically stakes, but it's not like how it was with, the overarching story of Thanos from phases 1 through 3. Phase 1 did not have this grandiose, like, story. Did not have this, like, oh man, we're getting there. There was dud stories. It was one-offs. It wasn't until phase 3 where everything finally came together and everyone's like, oh my God, this is so great. And I feel like as comic book fans, I feel like that's where we definitely struggle. So I definitely think that Wakanda Forever, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever moved forward the story and helped introduce more characters. And you do find out that Namor is technically in the MCU, he's the second mutant that's been identified, because now they made Kamala Khan Miss Marvel a mutant. But I like the fact that Namor is still technically the first mutant, and I like the fact that they kept that going. So overall, worthwhile movie, and yeah, just go check it out. That being said, thank you guys for listening, and yeah, you guys can listen to me on Anchor, Podbean, wherever you want to listen to your podcast. You guys can also find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Nerd Stuff with Ian. And yeah, have a great day. Bye.